continue on. I like it. Okay, we have no referrals from council, but we do have some staff reports today. And we're going to start with recreation. 9.1.1, proposed amendment to modal 058 fee policies. And I'm going to turn the time over to you. And I don't know, I've forgotten your name. Ruth, thank you.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. So the report submitted recommends amending MODL 058 fees policy to introduce tournament rates for the MARC ball fields based on feedback from users. Proposed changes include adding tournament fees, removing an obsolete rental fee, and clarifying existing rates. Staff is proposing the following changes to Table 2, Recreation Services Fees. Add, if paid by May 1, to ball field league fee of $19 per hour plus HST. Remove the MARC rental fee from the table. Add 1 day ball field tournament fee of $135 per field per day plus HST. Add 2 day ball field tournament fee of $115 per field per day plus HST. At a charitable cause, 1 day ball field tournament fee of $65 per field per day plus HST, and add charitable cause 2 day ball field tournament fee of $60 per field per day plus HST. We also recommend adding minor sport ball field rentals 18 and under free of charge to the table. Add HST to the fee for the saw pit floating docks. Another notable change is the implementation of charitable rates for tournaments. For the purpose of this policy, we are defining a charitable cause as follows. A charitable cause refers to either a charitable or nonprofit organization or to individuals who have experienced recent hardship. The addition of a charitable rate for tournaments is proposed to encourage users to host charitable tournaments to raise funds for individuals or organizations in need. So in conclusion, staff recommends implementing tournament rates to encourage more users to host tournaments, and the other proposed changes noted in the report are to clarify or to offer clarification to the public.
Mayor Bolivar-Gessen, you have a question?
Thank you. Question, comment. So just to be clear on what I'm seeing here, currently the fee is $21 an hour. And if they pay early, they would get it for 19. Is that correct?
That's correct. And we always had the rate of 19 per an hour if they paid prior to their first day of play. It's just that we want to include that in the table.
Okay.
That just to clarify for the ball field leagues.
And in the past, the ball field per day was 135?
So we're proposing to add a fee of $135 per field per day. In the past, it was an hourly fee.
This is a better deal for organizations that would like to use the ball fields.
Exactly. This is a better deal because we'd like more people to host tournaments. We've heard from ball field leagues that a lot of the reason they were driving to Liverpool was because of the cost of our fields. So we're hoping that by decreasing the fees, we're actually going to increase the number of tournaments we hold.
Fully support this going forward, and the youth free of charge as well, the U18 and under. Makes perfect sense for what we're trying to do and keep everyone active in the municipality. But also looking at the charitable part of it and those raising money, and there are a lot of charitable ball tournaments that go on. So it's one way that the municipality can give back as well from that perspective.
Do we have any other questions for Ruth? No? Councillor Greek, would you be willing to bring forth that motion, please?
Yes, please. Thank you. And thank you, Ruth, for bringing this forward. This is something I've heard from ball players in my area as well. To the chair and members of the Policy and Strategy Committee, I move that the Policy and Strategy Committee recommend that Municipal Council amend MODL Policy 058 fees policy as presented and hereby give 7 days' notice of Council's intention to adopt the amended policy at the March 26, 2024 Council meeting, and I so move.
Seconded by Mayor Bolivar-Getson. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Question.
Question's been called for. All those in favor? The motion has been approved. Thank you very much. We're going to move on to 9.2.1, Municipal Public Charging Station Fee Review. And I thought Kayla was going to be there, but you're not Kayla. Go ahead, Abby.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. So this report pertains to reviewing the public charger, electric public charger per hour fee. Bit of a background, in 2021, Council had set the first time the rate, the per hour fee for our municipal public EV charging station. And it allowed also an option to adjust the rates based on the actual usage in the coming years. Staff reviewed the actual usage of recent years, and we witnessed in 2022 and 2023, there was a drop down in the usage of the chargers. But we also witnessed a sudden spike in the usage since the beginning of this year, 2024. For instance, in 2023, the electricity usage was somewhere around 550 kilowatt hours. But in 2024, in the past 3 months, the usage has jumped to over 4,000 kilowatt hour. Also, a note is that in starting this fiscal year, our operating costs would also reduce further as staff opts out of a cloud subscription plan, which costs around $560 a year. However, this decision can be revisited if there is a need in the future. Based on a general review of the usage, the staff recommends maintaining the charging fee of $0.05 per hour. With the current utilization rates that we are seeing at the charging station, it is sufficient to recoup the operating and maintenance costs as well as future capital costs for EV chargers replacement. There's also a table in the report that is providing a breakdown of the cost analysis and the number of charging stations that happen, not charging sessions that happen in the respective years, average duration of those sessions, and the total revenue that we generated over the years. In 2022, the revenue generated was $108.63. In 2023, we generated roughly about $80. However, in 2024, with the usage sudden spike in the usage, we generated almost $950 in just past 3 months itself. Table 2 also provides a breakdown of the actual operating and replacement costs pertaining to those chargers. In 2021, when the projections were made, they were necessary at that time because there were no, the operations had not begun yet, and we had to look at the market standards, and that is how the rate was set. But in the following years, we could actually adjust those calculations based on the actual usage, and that is reflected in the table 2 in the report. I can dive into it if you all would like me to. Further down, there is also a jurisdictional scan where we looked at what our neighbors are charging and also like charging stations in our close proximity are charging. So some of the charges that we looked at are charging at $1.50 per hour. For example, Best Western across the street, Mahone Bay Center, Salt Box, Brewery, it's a private entity. And then some of the entities in the jurisdiction are charging free of cost. They don't charge anything. For example, LCLC in Bridgewater, Riverport Community Center, Smugglers Cove in Lunenburg, and Gold Nugget AFN in Chester. As an alternative, the report provides two options for council. Option one is council may choose to increase the rate to $1.50 per hour. While the current utilization rate that we have seen since the beginning of this year is sufficient to recoup our ongoing operating and maintenance cost, as well as future capital costs for these equipment's replacement. However, this utilization rate could fluctuate, as it has in the past 2 years as well. So it could also affect the charging demand. So increasing a rate to $1.50 per hour could allow balancing off that reduced utilization rate induced revenue loss. The adjustment will also put the rate in alignment with the current market standards, which have been observed in the entities such as Best Western Plus and Mahone Bay Center. However, staff also at the same time advises to not to increase the rate beyond $1.50 per hour, as this could discourage EV drivers from using the municipal public charging station, and also maintains us in alignment with our local climate change action plan 2030 and our commitment to promote and support transition to electric vehicles. Option two could be council may direct staff to set another rate as deemed necessary or appropriate. In conclusion, staff recommends council to maintain the current rate at $0.05 per hour and review the charging rate in the future. This option allows council to recoup ongoing operating and maintenance cost as well as future capital costs for EV charger replacement.
We have a few council members that would like to ask some questions. Councillor Stanton.
Thank you, and thank you, Abby. I just have two questions, if I might. The first one is, can we change the chargers in-house, or do we need a technician to come in and change the meters on them to reflect a newer rate?
The new rate?
Yeah.
We can do it in-house. It's done through a portal, the software itself. We can set a rate, whatever we want to.
Okay, that was my first question. And the people who are offering it free, the chargers that are free, they're for customers only, are they not?
Not all
except
of them.
Except for the LCLC?
There are a couple of others who offer to public as well. For example, in the table, Gold Nugget EFN is a restaurant, but the chargers are available to public 24 hours. Some of them, yes, they offer to only their customers. For example, Bridgewater Volkswagen or Smuggler's Cove, they offer only to their customers. But there are examples of charging, like who are offering charging stations. There are examples who are offering free of cost to public, general public as well.
Okay.
Not that many, though.
Thanks. I'll stop there for now.
Mayor Bolivar-Getson, you'd like to ask a question?
Okay. We've been looking at this at the LCLC as well, and I believe the recommendation that's going to come back is for it to go to market value. Market value is currently set at $1.50 per hour is what that is. Is that correct?
Generally, yes, but although there is no assets.
There's no regulated board.
Regulated,
no,
yeah.
It's not regulated that way, but I know that the Best Western is currently charging
in the close proximity,
$1.50. They have also, you can do the fast charge, which is whatever rate. I don't have a plug-in vehicle, but I do know that there's a set rate of whatever if it's a fast charge.
Yeah, it's $1.15 per hour.
I guess I'm looking at this as I don't understand why we would be under the market value for the rate of electricity and everything else and how that is factored in and so on. I know that we have solar panels on our roof, but I'm not sure how much we're generating to offset the cost of everything that we have in operation here. I believe we should be, and we've been talking to this at the LCLC as well. And originally when they were put in 10 years ago, the demand wasn't there for the use. But I do know from an electricity perspective at the LCLC, there's definitely a need to be charging for electricity that's going out. So I do support the $1.50 or the market value. I think that the policy should be linked to the market value. I don't think we should have to change the policy every time the rate changes. So somehow I think that it needs to And this is Nova Scotia Power setting these rates that they have throughout the province, correct?
Nope. Anybody, whoever.
The Best Western does not own that charging station. It's done through.
Yeah, so the ones at the Best Western is Nova Scotia Power owns.
Yes.
But and the other location, for example, the Mahone Bay Center or the Salt Box Brewery, they're like personal, private entities. They could set their own.
They're there for patrons is what they've put them in place for the patrons of those facilities. But Nova Scotia Power has gone throughout the province and put in these electric charging stations to try to get people from point A to point B and so on across the country is what, not Nova Scotia Power, but different organizations or power companies to do that. So we would be subsidizing the rate if we do not link it to something.
Not necessarily. So if we want to compare it to the market, it certainly could be looked at for the reference point, like for to refer, like what market is doing. If you have to compare, you could certainly look at. But if we look at, are we, based on the current utilization rate, are we subsidizing the per hour fee? Not necessarily, because we are charging a rate that is allowing us to sufficiently recoup our ongoing operating and maintenance costs and would also allow us to generate revenue for future EV charger replacement too. But however, we could certainly look at market too as in conjunction, like as collectively, to keep a balance between charging a rate that is also allowing us to maintain our operations and maintenance, but at the same time also in alignment with what the market is charging.
But operations and maintenance does not cover infrastructure costs that had to go in with the cable, with everything else that went to put the infrastructure in place in the first way around. We're not factoring in that infrastructure.
That is correct.
I have Councillor DeLong. Did you have a question?
Yeah, I have a question and a comment, if I may. So do we have any knowledge of why the why it decreased in 2023, the usage?
Not yeah, it's difficult to pinpoint like why the usage decreased. You can't really tell because it's a public charger. Yeah, there's not necessarily a reason that we could pinpoint because of this. Because chargers were throughout the year were all the time operational, so mm-hmm. they were fully accessible to the public. So yeah, it's difficult to pinpoint why the utilization rates fluctuates.
Okay, and my second question, if I may. The numbers that you show in your tables, does any of that reflect in-house use, like when we have municipal fleet charging at the stations, or is that just public use?
It's just the public use.
Okay, great. I definitely support keeping the rate consistent with our maintenance and operating costs, and in particular, if our costs are going to be lowered by opting out of the cloud subscription that we don't need. It also shows that we're relatively in line with other chargers in the area. And our discussion last time centered around just covering costs. So I definitely support the staff recommendation.
Councillor Vino.
Thank you. When this got brought up a year ago and maybe even the year before that, and we were playing around with what number for these charging stations, and we said we'd bring it back, and it's probably something we might have to do every year while EVs are still growing in capacity. I do like the idea of supporting the model with market value. It gives us fact and something to go on, and therefore would support the $1.50 for the charging stations. Thank you.
Councillor Staton, you had a follow-up question.
Yeah, and just a couple comments. I think when this all started, I suggested that we put it at market value to begin with, and then we wouldn't be subject to this now. And we can't expect the property taxpayers to supplement someone's vehicle charging. That's unfair. If the market value is $1.50, then that's what we should be charging, and we should be adjusting them according to market value as that changes. And it's really good to see this here, and I meant to do it myself, and I didn't get a chance, but thank you.
Councillor Moore.
Thank you. I'm going to support the market value of $1.50. My biggest concern is you've got $1.50. If we go with $1.05 or something like that, you've got a facility across the road that's charging $1.50. Guess where the vehicles are going to come? And we've already having problems that people are using ours, and we have not enough plugs for our own fleet to charge. So I'm supporting the $1.50. Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments? No. I also will be supporting the $1.50 because I recall, as Councillor Staton had mentioned, that people in my district were also very concerned with the fact that they have to pay prices for gas, and it's not subsidized, and it's not just so that the gas station can recoup its and get the basics, but that the company is making some money to be able to sustain itself. And so I will also be supporting the $1.50 as well. So Councillor Staton, would you bring forth the motion regarding, I believe, from everyone.
Which one do you want me to bring forth?
The consensus.
Okay, the one I support?
Yes, the one you support. The one you support, yes.
Okay, thank you. I have it here.
Yeah.
And I'd like to add to that that we do it according to market value on an automatic basis. Can I add that to the motion? Or may I?
Just hold on a second, Councillor Haysom.
Sorry, can I ask a question about that? If when we're talking about market value, are we talking about this jurisdictional scan? Because I think that it sounds like, okay, so sorry, let me just be clear. It sounds like Best Western Plus, their charger is based on Nova Scotia Power's, okay, and so everybody else is meeting that set by Nova Scotia Power. Everyone else who's choosing to, sorry, who's charging $1.50 an hour is saying, okay, we're meeting what's put forward by Nova Scotia Power.
So
I just wonder if there's a distinction here between market value and jurisdictional scan, and if that's something that we should consider.
I can help provide maybe a bit more clarification. So when you say market standard or market rate, there's a gray area because there is no as such market. It's on your preference. What do you want to consider as a market? Do you want to keep it inconsistent with the neighboring municipalities or municipalities which are in close proximity, like HRM, Chester? You could look at municipalities in Nova Scotia for comparison. That could be the market that we could look at. Nova Scotia Power doesn't set a rate. It is just for their own chargers that they have decided to keep $1.50 per hour, but the other personal, or I mean the private entities or in general organizations can have their own rates. For example, there are so many examples in HRM. There are different private entities who are charging completely different rates. Some is charging $1.02 an hour. Some are charging $1.20 an hour. You could see all kinds of varieties. So it's up to you all how you want to consider. When you put that based on the market rate in the motion, that would be like gray area because there's no defined what you want to, what do you consider as a market. You could certainly look at as from a reference point of view, like what are in general like charging stations in around the area are have set a rate for comparison purposes. And then you could look at in conjunction with what is our utilization rates, how is our operating and maintenance costs are adding up to meet that per hour rate. For example, if we say $1.50, keeping in alignment with market rate, if staff recommendation was to come last year, we would probably be recommending a higher price probably because our usage was so low. So we probably could have been recommending going for $1.02 an hour, or it could be $1.03 an hour because we are not really generating enough revenue to match our operating and maintenance cost. And if we were stuck with that market price, we would have to keep $1.50. So keeping it in alignment with market could be one way to set a rate, but doesn't necessarily have to be. Staff recommendation would be to still look at our own usage, how much are we spending on operating and maintenance, and keep a balance between, we also don't lose money. At the same time, we keep an alignment with the market rate. I don't know if I'm making sense.
Councillor Satin, you have a follow-up, and then Councillor Bell would like to.
Yeah, just say something. If we charge the $1.50 and we wanted to add charges to the location, then that would be some money that we would have in our pockets to do that, right? As opposed to it coming out of the tax rate to add extra charges. Because you say now that we're making some money, so if we charge $1.50 like the people around us are doing, then when we wanted to add charges, we'd have a few dollars in our pockets to do that. Am I right in assuming that?
Yep, you would be right if the utilization rate remains the same. For example, if all of a sudden nobody's coming at our charging stations, nobody was really charging, or the charger's usage has gone low. For example, last year, 100 people came and charged at our stations. We generated certain revenue, and we say if on average 100 people come again, we should be charging this rate per hour. And next year, only 50 residents came in. We would probably be recommending increase the per hour fee if we want to maintain that our operating and maintenance. But if next year 200 people start come and charge, we could probably recommend, we could look at reducing the cost. We don't really need to be charging $1.50. So that's when you look at utilization rates and setting a rate per hour based on how much your usage and your spending is on operating and maintenance. If you look at just the market, the Best Western across or like some private entity across is charging $1.50, we should also be charging the same rate. That could be misleading if you're not really getting enough utilization. We could encounter some losses too. So setting a market rate is not always like the best option to go to. You could look at it for a reference point of view, but you should also look in conjunction or in harmony with our own operating and maintenance.
Councillor Bell.
Thank you. Last year I wanted to use the regional market rate instead of the MODL charity rate. And anyway, I lost my vote. But I heard quite well that my constituents who could not afford an electric vehicle did not like subsidizing the people who they refer to as the more ability to pay was being subsidized by people who couldn't afford EVs. So that's why I just kept quiet at today when we were discussing it. I did ask last year that it come back here for a review. And if it makes it easier for Councillor Statton, with your five plus me a six with the $1.50 rate, I think you're safe to go for that one if you had any hesitation.
Mayor Bolliver-Getson.
Well, I just want to comment, it may not be a regulated industry now, but if you think that as the shift happens from gasoline to electricity, that the provincial government is not looking at things that will change as well to a regulated market, it definitely will. And I guess this $1.50 is not just a number at the Best Western. This $1.50 is the rate that Nova Scotia Power has put in place throughout the province for the stations that they have put in. So there is a constant to that. And when we try to compare the Riverport Community Center and industry itself, like businesses, it's difficult because, if I take my car to the garage or if I'm doing whatever and they're plugging it in, that makes sense that they're doing that, but I'm probably paying. Whether you realize it or not, it may say free, but at some point I'm paying in the overall operational costs of those businesses at the end of the day. So it's not really free.
Councillor Haysom.
Thanks. So I want to specify first that this wasn't a charity rate. Like we did discuss and agree that we actually made that increase to $1.05 when we first did that back in 2021. Abby, I think I'm understanding your point that the cost of installation is sunk. So there is this ongoing operating cost. So you want to generate funds from people using it to cover your costs. So you want to make sure you're not setting it too high so you're not covering your costs because people are turned off from using it. But you also want to ensure that you're generating enough to cover your costs and to Councillor Statton's point, maybe have something in your pocket for the next upgrade. So I just want to say that I can be comfortable with a rate of $1.50, but I want to, I think it's important that we keep it this idea of a jurisdictional comparison so that we're in line with other parts of our municipality and other areas within our municipality, as opposed to going hard and fast with a market rate. So I don't know about you guys, Nova Scotia Power, I don't have a whole lot of faith in them as an organization, but if we're trying to be aligned with the other options that are available to residents, visitors in the area, I would be comfortable with that. And from what I'm seeing right now, $1.50 looks like that. So I could be comfortable with that.
I'm sorry, Councillor Statton, could you bring forth that motion? Sure. Then we'll have further discussion.
Yep. To the chair and members of the Policy and Strategy Committee, I move that the Policy and Strategy Committee recommend that Municipal Council increase the municipal public charging station fee to $1.50 per hour, and further that Council amend MODL Policy 058 fees policy to reflect the increase, and hereby give 7 days' notice of Council's intention to adopt the amended policy at the March 26, 2024 Council meeting.
Seconded by Councillor Bell. Discussion on the motion. Councillor DeLong, I believe you would like to make a comment.
Thank you. Yes, I am also comfortable supporting the $1.50 rate. Again, echoing what I'm hearing from one of my other colleagues, if it is tied not so much to the market value but to the jurisdictional scan. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Any other discussion? Councillor Haysom.
Thank you. So just based on the motion that's on the floor, there isn't any reference to a jurisdictional scan or a market scan, and I think that that's probably fine for this point in time. So I'm glad that we had that discussion.
Your fees policy has regular reviews built into it, so it's fine to pass it as it is. It will come back before you in future years.
Okay, so we're going to call for the question. All those in favor? The motion is passed unanimously. Thank you very much, everyone. And we're going to move down to Administration Department, proposed Joint Police Advisory Board for Lunenburg County. And I want to turn the time over to Alex for that.
Yes, good morning, committee members. I'd like to have your attention this morning to talk about our Police Advisory Board. Currently, the Police Act requires that every municipality that's served through a contract by the RCMP have a Police Advisory Board in place. This can be a municipality having their own board as a single unit or a joint board. Currently, the RCMP provide policing services to four municipalities in Lunenburg County through one detachment. As well as MODL, the District of Chester, the towns of Mahone Bay and Lunenburg all receive the same policing service. For the last couple of years, Lunenburg, the town of Lunenburg, has not had a functioning board. And following the Mass Casualties Commission, the Department of Justice has been moving through the province trying to encourage municipalities that weren't complying with the Police Act to get boards up and running again. So discussions at a regional level, this topic came up, and we would like to propose exploring a joint police board. The process is simple. A letter from each of the councils to the Minister of Justice is required explaining why you're seeking a joint board. The letter does have to explain the reasons why. You have a short report, which is going to all of the partner councils to consider. The primary benefit, though, is it reduces time demand on RCMP staff. So currently, they prepare quarterly reports. Again, it's the same staff that are preparing these reports, but they're serving four different municipalities. They then tailor the report, and then they're providing them to four different municipalities. There are three functioning boards, so they're then having to attend three separate meetings, make those presentations. So we'd be saving them time where they could be redirecting that to managing their police resources. It would also assist with some governance, as the town of Lunenburg currently is not meeting their requirement, so they'd be getting a board put in place. Another issue with the police boards has been the Department of Justice hasn't consistently been appointing their representatives. So the composition of the board is made up of members from council, members appointed by council from the public at large, and then a single member from the public who's appointed by the Department of Justice. And it's been, it's required multiple efforts from municipal staff, from our municipalities, to ensure that we do have a member appointed to that board. Other units have not been as successful as us, so they just have that position sit vacant for quite some time. And we have also had periods where we've maintained a position on that board with an expired term, understanding that the province would eventually reappoint them, but it was low on their priority list. So it would reduce the number of those from four that the province is supposed to be appointing to three, while still maintaining the public representatives. So, as I mentioned, this report has gone to the municipalities for the four partners. We're looking for council to consider this. If you're in favor, then we have a motion which would refer it to your police advisory board for discussion before we ask council to write that letter. And I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Councillor Greek, you have a question?
Thank you. I very much like regional services. I feel that that helps everyone in the long run. Will this in any way negatively affect police services in our municipality?
So this is totally independent of the police mm-hmm. budget. So annually you set aside your contracted payment amounts to the RCMP. It won't change. If anything, there'll be a marginal increase because some of your senior officers will be spending less time on administrative tasks that they can redirect that time to other policing tasks.
All right. Thank you.
Mayor Bolivar-Getson.
Thank you. And I know that our Deputy CAO, we've talked about this. I definitely do support the concept, but I also believe that it needs to go to the Police Advisory Board, who have not been privy to this information, seems to be coming top down. So I do believe that the Police Advisory Board definitely should be brought up to speed on what's happening before we write that letter to the Minister of Justice.
Seeing no other questions, I do have one. In the motion, it says feedback before May 14th council meeting. Is there a specific reason for that date?
That date is specified because the Police Advisory Board only meets quarterly and or every 3 months, I believe. And so their meeting is just prior to that. So that would be the next following council meeting so that they would be reporting to.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Councillor Councillor Haysom.
Thanks. Would it affect the number of MODL representatives on the police board?
So in the Police Act, the requirement is that if you have a single board, then the representatives from council and the representatives from the public have to be balanced, so either two or three members from each. Under the regional board, you have two representatives from council, two representatives from the public, and then a single rep from the Department of Justice. So there would be... currently, we have three members at large appointed, so it would be a reduction of one. Although there would continue to be a number of public representatives because each of the units have those two. So you're actually going to end up with eight members, the public from Lunenburg County plus the representative appointed by the Department of Justice. And I suppose a side benefit I didn't mention is it reduces the number of council members required on the police board from three down to two.
Are there any other questions for Alex? Mayor Bolivar-Getson?
I guess just on that, there would be a reduction in members at large and council members on all of the units, not just on our, in ours.
They would rebalance between each one, yep.
So yes, to your question.
Although it would be an increase in the town of Lunenburg, which effectively currently has zero.
Councillor Bell, would you be willing to bring forth that motion, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair. To the Chair and members of the Policy Strategy Committee, I move that the Policy Strategy Committee refer the matter of the creation of a joint police advisory board for Lunenburg County to the Police Advisory Board and further request that they provide feedback before the May 14th, 2024 council meeting. I so move.
And seconded by Councillor Vino. Is there any discussion on the motion? Questions been called for. All those in favor? The motion has been approved. Thank you very much. Moving along quite well today. And we're down to mayors, deputy mayors, councillors' matters, and we have 10.1. And I'm going to turn the time over to Councillor DeLong to talk about the resolution on federal infrastructure spending.
Thank you very much, Chair. So I noticed this item came to us in a recent FCM newsletter. The FCM is requesting that its members support its ask to the federal government for consistent infrastructure spending that tracks with real-world spending needs of municipalities. I support this idea and wanted to give Council the opportunity to consider it. A real infrastructure spending plan was a passion project of former MP Catherine McKenna, who made bold moves while she was infrastructure minister, and I'm paraphrasing from a Global News article here, telling municipal leaders that she wanted to ensure the benefits of infrastructure investments be distributed fairly across the country, including in rural and remote areas. She also wanted to ensure investments be made in projects that could help communities combat climate change and become more resilient in the face of increasing floods, wildfires, and extreme weather events. Unfortunately, after she left politics in 2021, these goals were not pursued as rigorously as may have been wished for. Mr. Sean Fraser has recently been given this portfolio last fall, I believe, and I think that this is worth bringing to his attention. I'd like to read a portion from the FCM toolkit that was in the newsletter to illuminate the need for the FCM's involvement in this file. It says, "Progress on a federal infrastructure plan is at a standstill, which is concerning in a context of rapid growth. At the same time, no new infrastructure programs are available today, even though the Investing in Canada infrastructure program is closed, and the Permanent Public Transit Fund will not start before 2026. Moreover, the Canada Community Building Fund, which allows municipalities to decide how best to allocate their funding and provides the flexibility to make strategic investments in a wide range of project categories, is under renegotiation between the federal government and signatories. A municipal growth framework can act as a key to unlock communities' full potential and address our most pressing national challenges, including infrastructure, housing and homelessness, climate change, and public safety. So I would like to request a resolution of Council stating that we believe that there should be consistent infrastructure funding and further that a letter be sent to the Honourable Minister stating as much." And I think there was something that was distributed to all council members on this. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Councillor DeLong? No? Councillor DeLong, would you like to bring forth that motion?
Certainly. Thank you. To the Chair and members of the Policy and Strategy Committee, I move that the Policy and Strategy Committee recommend that Municipal Council write a letter to the Honourable Sean Fraser, Minister of Housing, Infrastructure, and Communities, requesting that the Canada Community Building Fund be maintained as a source of direct, predictable, long-term funding for local infrastructure priorities, and commit in Budget 2024 to meeting the next generation of infrastructure programs, including water and wastewater infrastructure, and increase the Disaster Mitigation and Adaptation Fund and further negotiate a municipal growth framework to modernize how municipalities are funded. And further, the council pass a resolution in the form attached from the FCM toolkit. And I so move.
Councillor Greek has seconded. Are there any questions on the motion? Questions been called for. All those in favor? Motion has been approved. And now we have adjournment. That was slow. You brought that hand up slow. And seconded by Councillor Haysom. All those in favor? Motion has been carried, and we are adjourned. Thank you.